All right. Something I'd like you to do, whether you grab your bulletin or if you have a little piece of paper there or something, and grab a pen or a pencil. I believe there's pencils in the pews in front of you. I'd like you to grab that, and I would like you to think for a moment. I'm going to give you a couple minutes here. And I want you to be thinking about three, maybe four Christmas miracle list items. Christmas miracle list items that you think this area, this community needs this Christmas. Homer and Ken and many of those others that work on the Warm House, probably several years ago, they thought, you know what? It would really be awesome if we had a place that people could get clothes and food and things like that. And then they came up with a name, and for years they have been doing that and working. Maybe that, something like that, is your dream. So I want you to write down as many as you can, maybe three or four Christmas miracle list items that you think this area, this community needs this Christmas. Go ahead. Christmas miracle list items. All right, keep your list handy because I want to share something with you this morning. We're going to come back to your list here before long. So, to begin, I would like us to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 in your Bible. It's a New Testament. New Testament begins with what? Matthew, and then comes the Gospel of Mark, and then the Gospel of Luke. As far as we can tell, Luke was a medical physician. In that day and age, he likes detail and research, and that is what brings us the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, these two books in our Bible. So Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now, this is the story of what we just read in Isaiah, which was a prophecy. This is what the story of what happened. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Now, you may be saying, in the sixth month of what? Well, we'll find out in just a little bit. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son and is in the sixth month of her, for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." What's that again? "For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Now, in this scripture in Luke, we see the story that is the beginning of Jesus' human life. It's the beginning of what Isaiah and other prophets of the Old Testament had been looking forward to and telling about for centuries. It is the beginning of a new creation. You see, we cannot go back now and understand what the world was like before this point because everything changed. Actually, it began to change. The new creation started here. It was established at Jesus' resurrection later on and is still coming to be in our lives today. But how did God go about this ushering in of this new creation? How did God go about the ushering in of this new creation that we're talking about? I mean, if you look at the scripture, it is something that God has been doing since Adam and Eve. But finally, God uses an old couple who had been married many years and couldn't have children, and a girl named Mary. Now, it may be surprising to us, but Mary was probably around 12 to 14 years old. 12 to 14 years old. Now, in this story in Luke, she does a beautiful job. Luke does a beautiful job telling the detail of Mary's encounter with the angel Gabriel. And if we take a closer look at Luke up to this point and look beyond today's scripture, we find that he pays very close attention to God's work among ordinary people. Already we find the angel Gabriel appeared first to Zechariah. Zechariah was an old priest, going about his duties in the temple, and then to a young girl not yet married. God chose lowly rather than the high and mighty to fulfill the plan of redemption. Think about that now. Instead of sending Gabriel to a queen or a princess, God sent the angel to a young girl engaged to a carpenter, no less. They lived in an insignificant town in an unimportant province of the Roman Empire. Obviously, all of this was important to God, right? But to the world, nothing about their circumstances would have led anyone to suspect the role they would play in God's plan and the history of the world. Amen? Are you out there today? To me, God using an ordinary human being, it's such powerful stuff. Think about this. The creator of all that was, all that has been, all that is, all that ever will be, uses this powerless person to bring his redemption to the world. I mean, God uses us for his redemptive purposes as well. Think about that. I hope that is exciting and humbling for you as well. You see, God just doesn't use those in powerful government and worldly positions. God uses people like you and me to fulfill his will and make his way in the world. God uses you and me to change the world. Now you might be thinking, well, obviously Mary was a powerful person because God chose her after all. Well, from God's point of view, that may be exactly right. But from the world's point of view, listen to me. Mary was about the powerless as you could be in that world. She was a young girl, number one. She was considered property of her father. Secondly, her engagement was most likely arranged between her father and Joseph, or between her father and Joseph's father. And she had no say in the matter. She was about as powerless as you could be, and yet, folks, God chose Mary. Let's say that together. God chose Mary. You see, God uses ordinary, everyday people like us to carry out his purposes. And like Mary, we need to accept our servanthood. Let's read that together. God uses ordinary, everyday people like us to carry out his purposes. And like Mary, we need to accept our servanthood. Now, I want you to grab that list you made, wherever it is, out of your purse or out of your Bible, grab that list that you made. And I want you to look down your list. Can't be looking at me if you're looking at your list. All right, grab your list. Look at your list. Now, I want you to go down through your list, and I want you to pick one that you think you can accomplish in the next month. Pick something on your list. Circle it, highlight it, and I want you to commit. I want you to accept your servanthood in this area. I want you to commit to one specific way that you can be a part of making that Christmas miracle happen this year. You know, the amazing thing is when you have something on your heart, God called you to fulfill that purpose. God didn't call you to ask the church to do it. God didn't call you to ask someone else to do it. God is calling you to fulfill that miracle. That is why it is on your heart. So you need to circle that one thing. I mean, God called you to all of those things that you wrote down. But you need to take that one thing and you need to circle it. And you need to say, I'm going to accomplish this in the next month or the next 4 weeks or the next 3 months. Whatever. It's up to you. God called you to do that. Why? Because, folks, you are a miracle worker. I want you to change you to I. I am a miracle worker, and I want us to say this together. I am a miracle worker. I am a miracle worker. Now you're saying it now because I told you to say it, but now I want you to believe it. Can you believe it for me? I am a miracle worker. You are. There are things that you have on your heart that maybe you have buried for years that God is calling you to. And God is depending on you. And God has patience with you because you are a miracle worker. There is someone in your life that God called you to fulfill that Christmas miracle this year because of that person or persons in your life. So now, just real quick, once Mary said yes to Gabriel and therefore to God, did she have a life of luxury? Did everything start going her way? Did she win the $400 million jackpot or whatever it was this last time? I mean, in a way, it was a very strange blessing, wasn't it? Remember, Gabriel said, you are blessed among women, right? Yeah, in a way, it was a very strange blessing. Mary was chosen or favored by God, but it brought with it none of the ideals or goals that consumes our daily life. Today, many assume that those whom God favors will enjoy things we equate with a good life. You know, social standing and wealth and good health. Yet Mary, God's favored one, was blessed with having a child out of wedlock, which could lead to death by stoning, folks. And that child would later be executed as a criminal. These are definitely things I would consider a blessing from God, wouldn't you? Are you there with me this morning? You see, most of us, just like the biblical Hebrew people, have a misconception about God's blessings. Although everything that we have, everything is a gift from God, even the air that is in our lungs, many times when we say yes to God, God leads us down a path that we may have never considered before. Amen? I mean, many of you have been there. You've followed God and you look back and you say, I would have never guessed in 100 years that I would be standing here at this point in my life. I mean, just a few examples. Whenever we get married, whenever God calls us to get married, it creates turmoil in our lives, doesn't it? Guys, you got to take the moose head or the fish off the wall, right? That's usually the first thing that goes, isn't it? You got to pick up your underwear and your socks, don't you? I mean, here we were just fine. We could find everything just where it was, guys, right? No, right? Yeah, we can't just think about ourselves anymore, can we, ladies and gentlemen, right? We can't just think about ourselves anymore. We have another person to include in our decisions. We have new priorities. We have new worries. When God brings new life into our lives in the form of a baby, it creates turmoil, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Sometimes even before the baby comes into our life and breathes on its own, right? You have a new schedule. You get no sleep. You spend lots of money that sometimes you don't have. Your priorities change. Amen? Many times one of you quits work, which creates other issues in the family system. You have new worries like, why is my baby crying? Again, all wrapped up in the excitement of new life. Just one more thing. Think about the church. Turmoil is created when God is active in a church family as well. With God comes change. And what does change do to a church? You have people that are saying amen to the change. And you have people that like it the way it was. And you have people that quite honestly don't like God involved in the church at all. Right? And so wherever one stands, God's activity creates turmoil in our lives. Amen? Because God always is calling us to change. In our lives, when God enters in and we accept, turmoil happens. It does. If we're pretty comfortable, we probably aren't doing enough for God, quite honestly. Honestly. And I ask you again, from your list, what is that one specific way that you are going to be a part of a Christmas miracle and to make that Christmas miracle happen this year? So what would I like you to take home today? Number one, you are a miracle worker. Many times when God blesses us, it's not that the world thinks of as blessings, right? Two, God uses ordinary people like you and me to carry out His will and mission in this world. It is accepting and carrying out that mission of God that makes us extraordinary. Amen. So I'm calling you to go for it. Make a commitment. Circle one of those things on your list and say, by golly, I am going to get this done and I'm going to find whoever I need to help me to make sure that this happens this Christmas. I want this Christmas miracle to happen. I promise you one thing, it'll be the ride of a lifetime. Remember, nothing will be impossible. With who? With who? Nothing will be impossible with? What is that one specific way that you are going to be a part of making a Christmas miracle happen this year? Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son who came to us in a baby Jesus to help us bring new life to us, to give us, Lord, a life, an example, to give us redemption through his death and resurrection. And we thank you for the explanation point on his life and teachings because of that resurrection, God. We give you thanks and praise for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the hope and the grace and the mercy that you've given us as well. In Jesus' name, we pray.